podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd first like you to go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops, the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, Funnel Down Defense. Just finish this one first and then pull the car over or stop your run and go over and check the other ones out, download all of them. And leave a 5-star review. We'd love that. But we would like to give a shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. I don't have a lot of sponsors that I talk about, and Dr. Dish is one of them. I believe in this machine. It is great. It has helped our team. You mentioned Coach Unplugged and they'll give you $400 off. That's all. That's probably the best compliment I can give. Is a lot of people approach me about talking about them and being sponsors on here, and Dr. Dish, I believe in them so much that that's why I do it. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It is what I would have wanted as a young 25-year-old coach. I would have wanted all of these resources, and maybe it would have helped me win a few more state titles. I don't know. But from someone that's been a nationally ranked coach and had nationally ranked teams and won that numerous state titles, this thing is everything you need to take your team to the next level. We offer a 14-day free trial because we believe in it so much. Go over and check it out. And let's head off the podcast.
This week, we're going to talk to Coach Gibbons about coaching a small town, building a program, all those kind of things.
Introduce yourself. Tell me where you're from, what you're coach, and we'll go from there.
Name is Joe Gibbons. I am from Scranton, Pennsylvania, so northeast part of Pennsylvania. I now coach at a local, I guess it's not that local. It's about 25 minutes north of Scranton. It's a small rural school district, Mountain View High School, and entering my third year there now. But before that, I coached at a local college, Penn State campus. It was Penn State Scranton. So I was there for about 4 years.
Okay.
As an assistant.
You didn't happen to work at Dunder Mifflin. I'm sure you've heard Dunder Mifflin.
No.
Oh, my God. We love the Memorial basketball program loves the office. So,
yeah. I'm sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that all right. A lot whenever.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. All right. So, so you went from an assistant to a head. How was that transition?
I thought I was prepared. I thought I was ready. I thought I had everything squared away. And obviously that's never the case when you make that jump. But it was pretty smooth. I think the school district I went to, they had a string of coaches who weren't overly committed, I guess to say.
Right.
And if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all in. So They kind of embraced me a lot. And I have a great administration, a very supportive, great group of parents from all the kids and stuff like that. So that made it easy. But
that's good. I tell people I tell people it's a really big move from that one seat to the left. It's a really big.
Oh, yeah. The biggest thing I guess was, and now all those problems and issues where I can say, oh, you're gonna have to bring that to the head coach, now come to me. And it's right. Like, oh man, now I gotta deal with it.
I tell people the best job might be a high school varsity assistant coach might be the best job. And
right.
Headaches, but you get to be you get to coach the kids and you don't have any of the headaches. And it's like your job's really not count. I mean, you're a high school assistant coach. You're probably not gonna get fired because they're happy to have you. It's not like being a D1 assistant if he gets, you know. So I think it's one of the best gigs in the world. But anyway, all right. So what's your questions for me as far as the program questions, X's and O's, whatever?
Okay. I guess the first thing I wanted to kind of start with was, like I said, I'm at a rural school district. So, I mean, kids live up to a half hour away from the school. And so I do my best to get them in the gym at least twice a week over the summer for about an hour and a half. All last summer, I did just entirely skill work, like individual fundamental stuff, offense, defense, I mean, you name it. And numbers weren't great. I had like 5 or 6 kids, but the 5 or 6 that were there were committed. They were always there. I didn't get a great, I didn't get the results I thought I would have gotten from doing that.
Okay, so so explain to me the rules in Pennsylvania, first of all, for what you can do in the summer.
So it's pretty broad. The way it's written is basically as long as I'm not a representative of the school, I can do whatever I want. Meaning, basically, it's almost like if I don't make it mandatory, you're pretty much good to go. You know, and I don't go in there as the head boys basketball coach at Mountain View High School. I'm just having an open gym where kids can come. Anybody can come. The gym's open. You want to come play and that stuff.
Okay.
But there's no limit on instruction or anything like
there's
that.
There's no limit on instruction. Okay, good. So, and then give me a synopsis of what you would do in a week, and then I'll tell you some things. I've had a couple coaches I've talked to in the rural that I think can help. But so give me a little synopsis of what you would do during the week. Like with, let's say these five or six come in. We'll talk about trying to get more of them in a second. But what do you do with those five or six?
Those five or six, we usually start with ball handling. We'll do about 10 to 15 minutes of ball handling. And then usually from ball handling, we go right into passing.
Okay.
I really broke it down, you know, get them. It's like fourth and fifth grade stuff. Like you get them across from each other and we're doing, we'll start with chest passes, we'll go bounce passes. Yep. And then add in the second ball and that stuff.
Okay.
And then from there, I really broke it down and we did a lot of stuff. We'll go like on like finishing right hand, left hand layups. Like I said, I'd break it down. I'd have them start one step away from the basket and just take a step and then go shoot it and then gradually back them out where they get more comfortable doing that. And then we would do just like some shooting drills and stuff like that.
And how are they on those? I mean, how are those five or six? Are they able to do all this stuff effectively?
Four of them can. Yeah. There's at least two that are, they're behind, I guess, you know, they can do it, but it doesn't look pretty.
Okay. And how many of those six play for you? Like,
so probably the four that were there, actually got minutes this year. Two of them started.
And then what about the other three starters? Where were the other three starters?
Soccer.
Okay.
So the other three starters were all in on soccer. I think two of them are definitely playing Division III soccer.
Okay.
And then the other one, he's still unsure about, but they do like soccer all summer long. All Soccer's right. huge up at the school, Matt.
So, how did the season go? What were the strengths and the weaknesses as far as your season? So why did you not think it went well?
I just didn't see a lot of that stuff we did kind of translate as well as I thought with those kids. I mean, we would do, and then we would even do like I thought we were weak with the basketball a lot the year before, so we did a lot of like pressure dribbling or, you know, protecting the ball and stuff like that, and we would still just get it ripped.
Okay. So what's your biggest issue? Not being able to score, turning the ball over, not rebound,
not being able to score. We only averaged about 43 points a game last year.
Okay. And are they able to get shots?
Yeah, but there's a reason they do, because the other teams leave them open.
Okay. So here's my thought I live in a metropolitan area of about 400,000.
Right.
So we can get competition. I can get competition for my 16-year-old whenever I need it.
Yeah.
We have that plus. I realize that. I've talked to several coaches who don't have that, who live in, on Golden Pond, kind of, is northern Wisconsin and Minnesota. It's, you know, like upstate, yeah. New Hampshire. It's crazy. There's nobody. They have to be able to figure out how to develop their kids if they're not playing like AAU. So I think you should work on two skills. You shouldn't worry about passing. You shouldn't worry about... You should make them shooters and ball handlers. And I would track the shooting like no tomorrow. Because if you can make four of those guys shooters, shooting can make up for a lot of ill if you get the ball in the hole. And then if the boys that aren't coming know that, hey, we're just coming in for an hour and we're going to shoot. Do you have a gun or a machine or anything like that?
We don't. Okay. Don't. I'm trying to get one this year, but it's tough going because I just talked the school into buying us new uniforms last year. So.
Yeah, they're expensive. So, like I just bought a Dr. Dish that actually has all the stuff on the phone. It's crazy. And it tracks it. So you can track the makes and the misses and the workouts. And they have like all these pre-grown workouts and everything's run through the phone. So we just got it 2 weeks ago. Okay. We had an old gun that's like 10 years old. But anyway, so the only reason I like that thing, it's like, it's no different than your friends rebounding for you, but it's like it makes them feel, it's like their generation with the phone and the, I don't know. So I would do something where you like, I mean, you can't make it mandatory, but let's come in and let's see who can make 10,000 shots kind of thing.
Right.
You know, something where you, it's like, you know, and then maybe you could get the soccer guys come in and say, hey, we're going to go shoot for 30 minutes and then we're going to play for 20 minutes. Everybody likes to play. You know, no one wants to come into a hot gym in July and do passing drills or, you know, do, I mean, they just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I think what you have to do is if you can't get competition to increase your level, then you have to increase the level on some of the skill. And that's why I asked the question about what skills you need to work on. You know, passing's obviously very important and all that stuff, attacking the rim is important. I'd work on shooting. And I'd work on shooting and dribbling because I think that can get you out of most situations. The dribbling can get you out of maybe some of the getting the ball stolen. You know, there's other things about pivoting and breaking and all that stuff, but I think that can do it. And I think the shooting can definitely take it. You know, I'd make sure that each kid shot 1,000 threes because all of a sudden you make 10 threes in a game and if you're only averaging 40 something and you make 10 threes, there's 30 right there. So, you know, that's where you might want to think, what do you run offensively?
I ran two different five out motions. So I ran basically what Bob Huggins runs at West Virginia.
Okay. Yep.
Just the open post. And then I ran the five out. You've probably seen, it's just a side ball screen, continuous motion. It's came from Europe. You probably know.
Yeah. So, but if you can pop on that, you know, I wouldn't, you know, are they, were, did you score attacking the rim or did you score off kick?
More attacking the rim.
So they have an ability to attack the rim. So now all of a sudden when they get stopped, if you can pop it out and hit a three, I think that might help. So when did you do the shoot around?
I usually do those.
Or the workout.
Yeah. It was usually Tuesday, Thursday night.
Okay. And did you talk to the kids that had conflicts, figure out when they could come?
Yeah, I did. And they would it's crazy. They would tell me they'll be there and then just not. Like, I won't hear from well, they're gone now, but I didn't hear from them for months.
Right. What about the younger?
November 17th.
So is that going to happen? Is that going to happen with the younger kids coming up? Let's talk. If they're gone, let's not worry about them then.
Yeah.
What about
the group I have coming up, basically there's six of them that are pretty committed. They're sophomores now.
Okay.
And I talked them into playing AAU in the spring, which took a lot of convincing. And they'll be around. We start summer league in 2 weeks. So this is the other problem. Before I got there, the youth program was basically in shambles. The coach that was there, it was basically like he was the only guy that wanted to do it.
Right.
And he wasn't very, people in the community didn't really like him. So kids weren't playing because of him and parents weren't letting their kids play because of him.
Okay.
So long story short, I have one kid as a freshman that I think can ever see varsity minutes. And then, so my eighth graders right now, there's another, only one kid that I think can ever see varsity minutes.
And what are the other kids doing?
They just weren't playing. So there was, the year that I got there, there was seven kids between seventh and eighth grade. Okay. And
so let's talk about youth program. So let's talk long-term. We'll talk marathon now, right? Yeah. Cause I think that can be your short, you basically got to convince. So this is similar to like 20 plus years ago when I took over the Memorial program, I was the only applicant. had six winning seasons in 35 years, 40 years. I mean, now we've had like a couple NBA guys. It's crazy. I had to weather the storm for 5 or 6 years so the youth program could kind of come and build itself. So you got to get it. And how many schools are in your district?
Just one. We just have a high school and a middle school. It's right across, elementary school. It's right across the street.
Okay. I would get to the elementaries. I'd get to the middle. Say, I want to run free clinics. I want to do fun stuff. You know, give them shirt, you know, have your varsity guys come and run like a Saturday morning program where you get them all in. You got to get kids excited about basketball. I mean, and then once they get excited, trust me, the moms and dads will pop out of the woodwork because they want their kids. I mean, if their kids like chess, they'll take them to a chess club. You know, it's like you got to convince them that they want to be basketball.
Right.
So that's like, you know, I would even run a summer camp and not even charge, just get them in the gym, get them excited, get a t-shirt, give them like candy, give them Gatorade, whatever it takes, because you just got to get excited. And then you got to find somebody you trust that can help run your youth program, so you don't have to necessarily do it, and say, hey, let's come up with a plan of what we can do, you know, and then eventually you maybe can become, you know, a nonprofit and all that kind of stuff. But But if you're tiny at this point, it's like, all right, let's figure out what we can do to get kids excited to play basketball. I don't know. I think that's
right, yeah.
I think that's really important moving forward, because you got to think, maybe I got to go find some seventh grade or sixth grade.
Yeah. Well, so I'm not in the school. I don't teach in the school.
Okay.
I work in a private company, but I got the gym teacher to take over the seventh and eighth grade program for me. So okay. I had a guy in the school, and he was he coached varsity at Mountain Dew back in the 90s. I trust him, and we doubled our numbers. This past year, we had 14 kids.
That's awesome.
Between seventh and eighth grade. Yeah, just by getting him in there. The younger program, you know, there's a lot of kids in it. There's probably 50 or 60 kids in there.
Right.
In the past, I think, after that ends at usually sixth grade. And then after that, I don't know, those kids would just, I don't know where they would go. They would just get lost and not end up playing and stuff.
Right.
I don't know if it was due to that coach or if they just, you know, I don't know.
So that's where you got to try to make sure maybe the year between sixth and seventh, you pigeon that year and say, you know, we're going to do 3-on-3 tournament, or we're going to do something where you can pigeon all those kids. To get, I mean, yeah, I mean, like I always think about it, it's like we have four winter sports. We have swimming, we have wrestling, we have hockey, and we have basketball in our school. Well, if I don't get my claws on them by the time they're, you know, they put skates on, or they get in the pool, or they go to wrestling, then I'm going to lose. So I got to try to get them as soon as I can. And, you know, maybe they're doing those other things. You know, I can't make a kid that's played hockey since eighth grade a basketball player in 3 years.
Right.
You know, in our program, I can't do it. So I got to try to get as soon as I can down there to get them. But I think I think there's two takeaways from this. I think you got to figure out something for the kids that are coming back to improve a limited skill set. I think you got to, you know, shave off that workload, say we're going to become, and whatever it is that you want to do, I don't know, maybe we want to be great screening team, whatever, we want to be able to, maybe we only want to work on attacking the rim in our offense, I don't know, but I think you got to narrow that down to maybe two things, and those are the two things we're going to work on. And then if you think you have kids that are bought in at sixth grade, I would say, hey, or that are going to be, they're going to be sophomores, or are going to be juniors? They're going to be juniors. So I would ride that horse, man, and say, hey, let's go. We're going to do this, guys. You know, maybe we got to come in the morning, and maybe we can get a couple more. If we come in the morning, we'll come in and you'll have the whole day. We'll come in from 6 to 7. Or what do you guys want to do? When's the best time for you so we can get everybody? Right. And, you know, maybe you do it 3 days a week if you can get more of them coming in. Then you can definitely
usually we'll start 2 days a week between like May, June, and July. And then once August hit, I usually go like a weekend, like a Saturday morning.
Right.
Just to get a third day in there.
So they get busy.
And then just keep increasing it as the season gets closer.
So I think that's the first thing with your guys, you know, kind of sit down and think about what you want to do. And then I think the youth part is, I think that's great. If you feel like the seventh and eighth grade thing is kind of thick, then I would figure out, you know, you got to think, all right, if you're thinking I want this job for a while, I got to go down and think about the elementary kids. I got to think about, all right, how can I keep them engaged? All boys at our games, or youth night at our games, or, you know, whatever it is. I just got to try to keep them engaged, or so they see me, they see our boys, they become engaged with it.
So the other kind of things I had was, the past 2 years I played pretty slow. I was thinking about this year, because I have those 2B juniors and they're all athletic. I don't really have a true big guy. I was thinking about playing fast, a lot faster this year, and getting up and down and putting in the primary and secondary break.
Oh my God. If you're so I would tell them, this is why we're going to get in the gym this summer, because we're going to go. And you know what? Yeah. If we get in the gym this summer and we're on the break and you have an open three kind of thing, you have to sell to them to why do we want to pay the price? Because you are
right. Yeah.
I mean, and then if John shoots that and I'm running down the break and he shoots that, well, it's going to be a long rebound. I can get the offensive rebound too. So teams are just, that's an easy sell. Trust me. I mean, that's the, like, you got to sit them in a room and say, hey, we were pretty slow. I believe in you guys. Here's what we can do. And if we want to do this, we got to get in the gym and we got to take, you know, 10,000 shots and we got to go at them. And then we could talk about pressure, and you can maybe, you know, all of a sudden put some pressure on him, do some running jumps. And I said, this is going to be fun. Have you been watching the NBA playoffs?
Yeah.
We're going to play, you know, we're going to be Houston. Let's go. But we're not going to we're not going to be Houston if you guys don't commit.
Yeah, I can get in the gym,
Yeah, and I think that you are like literally selling a, you know, a new Jaguar to them. It's not a hard sell. Trust me. They're going to want it.
Yeah, I mean, we got progressively faster from the first year to this past year, but I pressed a lot last year. I didn't necessarily run a lot offensively unless we got a turnover, but we pressed almost the entire game. And the reason we did it, I always say this about it's all small rural schools, and each team has one player that's really good. The team that usually has two guys that are really good usually wins the division.
Right.
So the reason I pressed was, and it's usually guards, the reason I pressed was now I'm getting the ball out of his hands and making guys that don't normally shoot take quick shots. And it worked.
They're open. There's a reason you're open.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And that goes back to what I was saying at the beginning about being in a rural. If you get three shooters, they're going to think you're it's going to be unbelievable. Like, you know,
right.
You increase 5 percentage points. All of a sudden it's like, we got to defend him and him.
Right.
That's the problem. Right. It's like, and all these guys should be like, oh, man, I can be a score. I can, you know, you can help us put us on the map and all. I mean, teenage boys you can feed on their egos. Trust me. It's very,
right.
There's a lot of psychology with that. And when you do it, it's like, they'll buy in. It's like this mob mentality. It's like, oh, we get to go. And on Teach Hoops, I have that here. I'll show you. I was pulling it up because I was showing it to somebody. This thing keeps track of all the shots I have my son do. So like today is the 20th. This is a generic one. So these are twos, these are threes, right. These are free throws, and it will keep track of it. Then it will put it up here and it's green because that's a good percentage. But the next day if he's 2 for 7, you know, and then it's not as good. So the percentage goes down. And if it gets red, then it's bad. It's just kind of that visual thing for him to see. And then what I do is I find somebody that's got all those little golf. I buy those little golf pencils and I just have tons of them.
Right.
Lose them all the time and you just keep them there. And it's like, all right, because there's something, and then they can, when they get home, they can do this on whatever. But it's more about keeping track of it. Like I told you with the Dr. Dish that my son's on, he's like, he's taken 2,000 shots in the last couple of weeks. But whatever, he could have done that without the thing. But I like that by the time season comes around, I can say, Drew, you took 17,000 shots. Shoot the ball. You can shoot the ball. You know, it's a mental thing. It's like you've done these 27 math problems. You can do this. When they see that, it's like, and then there's a little bit of a competition. Because what I have them do is I have them do it in partners when they're doing it. And then the partner fills out the other guy. So they, you know, you're shooting 20 shots. How many did I make? 8. Then he goes and fills it out. And then the other guy rebounds. And then they flip that way. Yeah. They can keep track of each other's. They're kind of keeping each other accountable. I think it's a great thing. But something to keep track
of. Look into that, yeah.
All right. You got about 2 minutes, Coach. And we can do this again for sure. But
the other, so this will be a quick one.
Yep.
We lost last year in our district quarterfinal. And there was one point in the game where I thought I blew it for us. And I'll explain the scenario. I want to get your opinion on it.
Okay.
So we were up 33-30 with 57 seconds left in the third quarter. My two best guards both had 3 fouls. We were on defense. There was a ball out of bounds, I think. The clock was stopped. So I pulled my two guards because I didn't want to pick up a stupid fourth, either one of them. And I'm thinking, worst case scenario, we go into the fourth quarter down one or tied. You know, there's 57 seconds left.
Couple threes.
We go into the fourth quarter down 37-33. So they scored 7 straight points in the last minute. And I've been kicking myself about that decision for 3 months now.
It never comes down to one thing. So it's the same thing I tell my players.
Yeah.
But what I would do, especially with 3, if they both had 4, I get it. I'd have pulled one. I would have pulled one of them, sat the other one, and then, God, if that one gets one, then maybe I pull it and we slow the ball down, or I even take a timeout at that point and say, hey, we're not shooting it again.
Right.
You know, 3 in the third isn't – it's that weird spot, especially if you can go to a zone at that point. Do you play zone?
I don't play. Well, I usually put in the amoeba, the 1-1-3.
Yeah.
But we weren't great at it this past year.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of zone.
Yeah. So that's something we should talk about another time, because if you're playing man, and you go zone, that will take a good 20 seconds for them to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
And reset your stuff and all that. So that's why I always think it's good, even if you're a man team, have a zone in. You know, I've done it more than once. We've played man literally for all the entire game. There's 2 minutes left and we're up 6. I'll go to a zone. Just because the adjustment period for high school kids is so slow.
Right.
That, you know, They got to play some defense too, Coach. Come on.
We kind of got out of sorts. We took a bad shot.
That's something we'll talk about again at a later point. But that's where situational stuff is really important in practice.
Right. Yeah.
So early in my career, I didn't spend as much time on situations, and I got a stack of note cards about 2 inches tall that I've made over, and I just write down situations. This one will probably get on a note card now. And then my assistant just grabs 3 of them and we do them. So it's my practice and their practice. But that's a good, that was not on you. All right. We'll talk again, Coach. And we'll do some zone stuff. I'm going to get you doing like a 3-2, especially if you're tiny. All right, Coach.
Okay,
talk to you soon. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. If you are, maybe go over and check out Coach Collins's other podcasts, Teacher Side Gig and High School Hoops. Subscribe, like, leave a 5-star review. Maybe. And then also you can go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.